Hey everybody, and welcome to this week's episode of Baseless Speculation, all the pop culture news and the research so you don't have to. I'm Joel.
I'm Jackson.
And I'm Joel.
Now boys, what do you think is next for the Conjuring franchise? They can keep scamming from the grave.
Well, that's like part Absolutely. Of the scamming from the grave was their kind of whole thing.
Yeah, dude, that's true. That's a good point.
Like, your kid's full of the demons from the grave.
Yeah.
You should give me a lot of money.
I will.
Yeah. Done deal. It is crazy, before we get into what's next for the Conjuring franchise, that it is a franchise at all. Like the first Conjuring movie I remember quite enjoying. It was fine. Second movie was pretty good too.
Yeah.
But it's crazy that you go like one movie, pretty good, sequel, pretty good, and then it's like 1 million movies and we're going to keep like
old for young and old.
It's become this grand universe because The Conjuring is not just The Conjuring. It's also The Nun, Annabelle, and as we discussed prior to recording, La Llorona. So,
So there's two. All right. Yeah. Look, we'll just lay out the baseline here that we know what the fuck is going on in the Conjuring universe, which is
the
called.
The CU.
The coup.
Yeah.
So it starts. So we got your Conjuring 1 to 4. Mm-hmm. The first three are out. First two directed by James Wan. Third one directed by some other guy.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Then that inspired. The Conjuring 2 inspired spinoffs about The Nun.
Mm-hmm.
So you got The Nun and The Nun 2.
Yeah.
And the first Conjuring, the first mystery they deal with is the Annabelle doll, and that has a trilogy of films called Annabelle.
Yeah.
Because didn't they try and like, or didn't they do the sort of a marvelication of it all? Which
I mean,
the
there's a marvelification of everything the time.
So, yeah.
But yeah, but then on top of that, so that's the official Conjuring universe timeline.
Mm-hmm.
And like there's years and stuff associated with it, which I will not get into. Because
who cares?
Or you want to hear that Annabelle creation set in 1958? Is that good for you, listeners?
No,
it isn't.
Is there something like, you've been saying, it's like the Conjuring universe. I'm like, movies?
Oh, you want the con? Conjuring
universe.
The Conjuring universe of movies?
Yeah.
The Conjuring universe.
So, it's like the Conjuring universe movie franchise.
Okay. Conjuring, there's something here. Something to be done.
And the other two movies, and I don't know how they're connected because I have not seen them. Mm-hmm. Yeah, uh-huh. Curse of La Llorona, or The Curse of the Weeping Woman in some markets.
Yeah.
And also a movie that I haven't even heard of, Wolves at the Door.
Wow. Now, which of these movies have you seen? Because I've seen Conjuring
Wolves
1,
the doors
2, I've seen two of the Annabelle movies.
Oh, yeah.
Dude, and Wolves at the Door, which is part of the Conjuring universe.
Is it about werewolves?
No, dude. Oh. It's about the murder of Sharon Tate.
What?
They shouldn't have done that.
Did the Warrens investigate that? Because I don't think that was supernatural. Unless you consider cults supernatural, which I don't. Well, it depends on what the cults are doing, actually. Yeah. Cults often involve sort of ceremony and ritual.
Okay.
Like Aleister Crowley, like he'd be a cult guy.
Yeah, that's true. He was a wizard. Guy. He was a wizard, so that's a good point. Or a warlock.
Okay,
perhaps.
So I think a big problem the critics had with Wolves at the Door is that it's allegedly nasty and morally bankrupt, and whilst it does have stellar performances and a genuinely terrifying story, it's largely let down by its makers' inability to understand that there are limits to what can and cannot be shown on screen when it comes to the retelling of real life murders.
What happens in that movie, dude?
I'm guessing it's
probably accurate to life,
instead of it just being the horrible things that people do, it's more like, the demon.
Yeah. What supernatural element are they trying to imply that Charles Manson is one of them
convincing demons?
Yeah.
Okay. So the detective that investigates this is Detective Clarkin. And that actor is reprising their role from Annabelle. So it's the awesome. It's MCU shit.
That's awesome, dude.
Who's the actor? Anyone like
good? Eric Laden.
Oh.
Whoa. E. Okay. Laden.
E. Laden.
Aladdin.
Street rat, dude.
I think he's the voice of Elias in Left 4 Dead 2.
I can't want to eat that. I think that the first two Conjuring movies are pretty good, and I kind of remember liking one of the Annabelles that I've seen.
I've only seen the first Conjuring, and I was like, yeah, quite impressed by it.
Yeah, it was pretty good.
Conjuring 1 and 2 rock. Yeah, they're the only... I have seen those. Conjuring Devil Maybe Do It is a piece of shit.
Well, it's because it's not... I mean, one, I don't like a possession movie. I'm not scared of a guy possessed by the devil.
Well, also...
Who cares?
I mean, when we get to... I mean, we can talk about it now, but the real life case for that is also, like, real loose than how...
The Warrens were even involved. Yeah.
Which I think is the same for Conjuring 2, but at least the Conjuring 2 is a good movie.
Yeah.
Conjuring 3 is like, it tries to do the... You can tell it's sort of trying to cash in on like our yearning for something like True Detective again.
Yeah.
Or even, I mean, Long Legs does the same thing, but does it way better, where it's like, ooh, it's a crime procedural, but oh my God, it's spooky.
Something spooky going on.
But in real life, what happened was there was this guy.
Yeah.
So... Fucking something Johnson. What was his name? Dick Johnson.
Yeah, Ann Johnson. Ann Johnson. Ann A. Johnson.
Yeah.
It's R-N-E. A-R-N-E.
But yeah, like...
He's accused of killing his landlord, Alan Bono.
Yeah. Or Bonner.
Dude. And at trial, Johnson attempted to plead not guilty by reason of demonic possession, but was unsuccessful with his plea.
Yeah.
And the Warrens were just kind of... They weighed in, right? Like
no,
they,
so the Warrens investigated his fiancé's younger brother, who they were like, whoa, he's possessed by the devil. And then after that happened, then he was like, I'm going to kill my landlord. The devil made me do it. And then the courts are like, no, it didn't.
That's very funny.
Rot in hell.
That's very funny.
I mean, look, do I feel bad that a landlord died? I can't say on this podcast.
Yeah. I think you can. Yeah. I'm not stopping you, dude. Yeah. It's your
life.
Well,
let's find out about the guy who died.
Yeah.
Am I going to speak ill of the Conjuring dead?
I thought was good. Very well done. But I think it's like half of it is all to do with like the performances.
Yeah, absolutely.
And like, you know, I love Ron Livingston as like an actor. I don't know. Ever since, like, is it Office Space? I'm just like,
yeah, I'll watch you do everything. Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
Great. He's got a good face.
Plus, like, the first two Conjurings do this. They do spooky ghost shit very well. Like,
I remember the clapping.
The clapping in the first one is it's almost iconic, you could almost say. And even they do good stuff. Like, I think a scene that really works in The Conjuring 2 is when they're attempting to chat with the ghost in the chair, but they're like, if we look at him, it won't work. So the camera's focused on the little kid, but you can just hear him talking, and you're like, nobody in the scene is looking at the chair, and watching the movie, I'm not looking at the chair that the ghost is in, but I can hear the... It's spooky. It works.
Does it do... Like, does Conjuring do that, at least the first two?
Yeah.
It's like, you know, you film a scene, like, the shot's all set up, and maybe because they've been playing around with actual lighting and like the darkness and the shadows and all of that. So like, say a good representation of this is like is it Heritage? Yeah, Heritage.
Yeah,
where what's her name? The mum. Because usually, spoilers, I guess, she's getting possessed.
Damn.
But she's in like a lot of scenes, and you only know that kind of if you turn up the brightness. Your TV, but like. Even if you don't, it's just this. It's slightly
your brain
there,
notices
and it's really, really
it.
Cool because it's really spooky, kind of
like
and
in
really
the,
scary.
In
and I love that kind of what they can do there.
What
but yeah,
the fuck's his name?
Does The Conjuring do that? Like some of that, at least in the first.
Conjuring has faces and stuff like The Exorcist
and the Haunting of Hill House TV show.
Yeah,
that has faces in the background.
Because the devil.
Yes, dude. No, I think in Haunting of Hill House, isn't it? The house is evil, full of black mold.
Yeah.
Or maybe it's just black mold.
I like that Insidious flips the script. They're like, we live in a haunted house. Oh, no, it's our kid's actually haunted.
Our kid's got a fucking ghost in it.
Fuck, we can't leave our kid.
One of the Annabelles I think is good, too. It might be the one set...
It's Annabelle Creation is the good one.
Yeah.
And which is the second one.
Yes, yeah, okay, that sounds right. Which is set in like an apartment block or something, or like an apartment building. I remember being like, this is pretty good. This is
because it's directed by the same guy who directed Shazam.
Whoa!
No, but more impressively, he also directed. I think he made a good horror movie. I mean, he made Until Dawn. That's really not helping his case. Fuck.
But
he made Lights Out, which is a pro-suicide film.
Yes, yeah.
Maybe it turns out he hasn't made a good movie except Annabelle Creation.
Anyway, I thought that was pretty good. Which is funny that it took, like, I mean, you know, is a haunted doll scary? I guess it depends on how you frame it. But it worked. And I've not seen any of the Nun movies, but I can't imagine.
I think critically
good.
And obviously film critics can get it wrong. Mm. But sometimes they don't.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And the general consensus from film critics is that the first two Conjurings and the Annabelle we were just talking about are really good horror movies. The rest of the series is mixed too bad.
Yeah.
None being mixed.
Yeah. None two being bad.
None
probably.
Two being bad. The first Annabelle being mixed. The third Annabelle being bad, I think.
Yeah.
And
La Llorona and Wolves of...
We heard about Wolves. Yeah. Wolves morally bankrupt.
Yeah.
But good performances.
That's crazy.
It has made me want to watch it.
Yeah, I wonder what they mean.
Also, The Devil Made Me Do It. The case where the landlord gets killed, did he deserve it? Maybe. He was being a piece of shit.
Mm.
Did he deserve to die? Hard to say.
Yeah.
But the reason that they use the devil defense is because the guy who did it... Basically, there's people living in a house that have related.
Yeah.
Okay.
They're hanging out at one of their places of work, which their boss is also their landlord.
Yeah.
Okay. So me and my cousin, you say, like, we're related. I don't, they don't give me exact details. I'm just trying to, like, paint a picture here. We don't need a picture perfect.
Yeah, it is.
Me and my relative. Okay, we are getting a picture perfect. Never mind. Fuck me, I guess.
No. It's not picture perfect. I'm just rejig my memory.
Yeah.
Okay. So it's you.
Yeah.
Your fiance or wife or whatever, a partner.
Okay.
You're a sibling.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Your sibling.
Yeah. So my bro and my wife.
Yeah.
Chilling in a house.
And your wife's cousin.
Okay.
And who is a child.
And my wife's cousin who is...
Kid cousin.
In real life, they were nine.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay. All right.
And you've gone to your wife's work, which is a bar.
Uh-huh. Okay. And we go to a bar. Wife works there. With... the boss,
so the
who is our landlord.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Tight. Right.
I'm there.
The boss.
So we all know each other. It's weird that I'm like, well, you're paying me, and then I just pay you to live.
Yeah. And then your boss, well, her boss, buys everyone a big group lunch, and then gets really drunk.
Okay. Thanks, boss/landlord.
Nice.
Okay. Hey, landlord boss, maybe stop slamming back tequilas.
Yeah, you're gonna need.
Then your wife.
Yeah.
Takes your sister and her baby cousin away because she's like, oh no, this man's getting really drunk. Okay, There's going to be trouble.
At the 9-year-old and my brother, who is of similar age, of bar drinking age.
Yeah.
Okay.
Let's get out of here.
Hun, probably take the child away from this very drunk boss landlord.
Uh-huh.
And sister, I guess you go with. I'll hang out with the drunk boss.
But on the way out.
Yeah. Drunk boss, they're just gonna
grabs child.
Oh no,
bro!
What is he doing? Why
drunk
is he
boss
doing
and
that?
Refuses to let go.
Okay,
yeah. I really like this when the boss is stabbed. It's described as four or five tremendous wounds.
Okay,
Jesus Christ!
He grabs the 9-year-old. I probably push drunk man.
Yeah.
Okay, so drunk man's like. Let go.
Yeah.
Then everyone comes back and is like, whoa, like before they've tried to go get pizza, they come back to like break up the situation.
Dude, maybe stop grabbing a 9-year-old.
Yeah.
And then you growling like an animal, draw a 5-inch pocket knife and stab boss heaps.
Okay. It needs to be a bit more. to escalate to that point.
Yeah.
Unless I was genuinely possessed by a devil.
Fuck, dude. I love. So he's like, I was possessed by the devil, but Callahan, who was, I think, the judge or maybe the opposition, argued that no such defense could ever exist in a court of law. That's awesome. And it would be irrelative and unscientific.
Now, do we think he was possessed by the devil, or when he said in the back of the police cruiser, I need help because I've got a drinking problem, and then passed out for 20 to 25 minutes.
Yeah.
Which one do you think actually happened?
Oh, so the
stabber?
The guy who stabbed. So he sees... drunk. Okay, I'm also drunk as shit.
Yeah,
and I see the drunk boss landlord.
Yeah,
kind of assault my 9-year-old
cousin-in-law.
And I can see how you would be like, get the fuck off, and then you stab.
Of course. Like, but what about this?
Especially if, like, again, I'm making now aspersions and assumptions.
Yeah, yeah.
Because, like, you know, perhaps this might not have been the first time this landlord showed tendencies.
He seems like he's
grab a 9-year-old. Yeah, let's say.
But so. Lorraine Warren defended her work with the family, claiming that 6 priests who were involved in the incident at the time that the boy was possessed, and they said that the 6 priests they agreed that the supernatural events were real. Uh-huh. Obviously, there's no verification that these priests ever existed.
Six priests. They probably got a vested interest in the devil being real.
It's really funny to be like, okay, one priest isn't enough. We need
6.
Like 6 to like so they can check each other's work.
Have these priests never seen an alcoholic before?
Yeah, like what? What the fuck, dude? The Warrens were such scam artists. It's so funny. They were pieces of shit, too. Ed Warren, I think after his death, somebody came out and was like, yeah, I was in a sexual relationship with him from when I was 15 years old. Of course, dude. Because he was one of those guys that goes, he was like, the reason you gotta fucking fight the devil and that you're possessed is because you don't love Christ enough. I'm a pedophile.
Right, you know, dude?
They stunk. They stinky guys.
Cool. Yeah, so Lorraine also was like, Arne got possessed because that kid was his fiance's brother or whatever was possessed.
Yeah.
And then Lorraine was like, I told him not to look the demon in the eye, but then he looked the demon in the eye and then he got possessed too. Okay. So it makes sense.
That fiance is like, so that was someone in the bar, or was that another person whomst
the fiance is the person who worked at the bar.
Yeah.
But the person that was originally possessed, not there.
So that's what I mean. So
yeah. Their name was David. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. They just weren't even there. It just happened to be like the boy fiance.
Yeah.
He just happened to look that guy in the eye one time.
Yeah.
And that's when the devil got in.
Yeah.
And there he's like, well, devil make me drink and make me stab happy.
Well, so, I don't think he ever put those two together. I think it was...
The drinking was actually got nothing to do with nothing, guys.
Dude, yeah. I'm reading quotes from...
I'm so fucking blackout drunk. I pass out for 25 minutes in the back of a cop car. But don't worry. Nothing to do with nothing.
No, it's all about the devil, dude. Yeah. I'm reading about it. We'll get into this, you know, the future for the Conjuring franchise. The Warrens investigated some cases that have yet to have a film made about them. Hmm. And the Snedeker House, which is a former funeral home they said was infested with demons. Mm-hmm. There's a quote from an investigator named Benjamin Radford. And he said of Lorraine, if she told me the sun would come up tomorrow morning, I'd get a second opinion. That fucking rocks, dude.
Can you please walk me through the exact scam of the Warren? So a crime has happened.
Mm-hmm.
Also, quickly, while we're talking about maybe morally bankrupt situations, just looking at the, you know, character names in The Devil Made Me Do It. Oh, they didn't change them.
Yeah.
And like the guy who did the murder got released from prison after 5 years. He's just chilling.
Yeah.
Now all of a sudden, 40 years later, they're making a movie about how he was possessed by the devil. No. They didn't even hide that it was him.
But that's funny because that was his case. He probably can't come out and like, because he's like, that was what he argued in court, right?
Yeah.
So if he came out and he was like,
point to the film and be like, see?
Yeah, but exactly. But he couldn't come out and be like, this film is inaccurate, because they'd be like, isn't that what you were saying?
No. Yeah, but I think
so. He's got to be like, fucking finally, someone's telling the true story about what happened. But the Warren scam was like so many other.
So I'm just like, because again, scam mostly for like, I'm guessing it's for fame, profit, and money.
Yeah. Absolutely.
So it's like, okay.
Well, they've published a million books.
Well, okay. So that's basically how it works. You look at any occult investigator and a lot of cryptozoologists too in the 1960s, 70s, 80s into this very day. And what happens?
For all the times.
What happens is that there's some case with an easy explanation. It's like, like a combination of like, sort of like, you're doing like the fake psychic thing where like a lot of the families that dealt with shit in these cases, it's like they just had like, people had drinking problems, like in The Devil Made Me Do It, or they were dealing with mental health issues or whatever. But the Warrens hear about it, and they come in, and they go, obviously this is a scam, or it's fake, or they've misunderstood something, but they go, whoa, what the fuck? Your house is full of ghosts. Ed Warren starts writing a book, and Lorraine Warren you know, moves into the house and fucking publicizes it in the news. Oh, these, you know, paranormal investigators, they're investigating this thing. They get the fame and then they release the book afterward. Like the Amityville Horror, which is like a very famous one. I'm pretty sure it was a hoax. I don't think it ever happened.
Well, yeah, that was, so we...
I'm 99% sure. It is crazy, though,
like, all those, like, very famous, like, sort of big spooky things.
Yeah.
And, like, these cases, like, Amityville, for one, is them. And I watched something recently about, I think it was, like, the guy from a country who never existed.
Yeah.
And he had, like, a passport, and they put him in a hotel.
The Man of Torred, which is from a short story.
Yeah, and that, it was just a, it's just lie.
Yeah.
It was just a, well, not even a lie, it was, like...
Absolutely.
You trace it back and it was just a complete and utter...
Like it was like, literally a short story published in a magazine.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, like it wasn't...
There was something else, which was like, it was a connection of like, it was a diplomat saying something about something.
Yeah.
And it was just like, then it was just all people making weird extrapolations and like they like the countries were like all very like completely changed. And it was a very just, it's an interesting case of just like, I guess an old case of telephone.
Yeah.
And it just kind of just was just... blown out to be like, oh yeah, this thing that definitely happened. But you're like, well, if you look at this, there's actually no firsthand sources here.
I mean, you find this, hey, if you subscribe to the Bad Brand Boys and you listen to a podcast that is exclusive to subscribers called Jackson Bailey Spooks America, where every episode, twice a month, I talk about a spooky thing from history or sometimes just a funny thing from history.
Yeah.
The amount of times you find a case, me and Adam did one, friend of the show, Adam Cannavale, on the Owl Man recently, right?
Yeah.
And you go, oh my God, the Owl Man. And as a guy who has a sort of amateur interest in cryptozoology and has purchased many books, you know, over the past about cryptids, the Owl Man turns up again and again and again in these books. Oh my God, the Owl Man. Who is the Owl Man? Then you look in, you actually do the research and you go, okay, once in the 1970s, a failed magician said that two girls told him they saw an Owl Man.
Yeah.
That's it.
That's awesome.
That's all there's ever been. But it gets reprinted, and that's the scam. It's the same with the Warrens.
Right. Okay.
Somebody says, oh, I think there's a ghost, and the Warrens go, that's fucking 200 pages and a lucrative book deal. And I think it's also worth remembering that there was a period of time in the 70s and the sort of late 60s and early 80s where this was like the main, like it was so popular to write a book about ghosts or about cryptids or about UFOs. Like you could make a career out of it.
Well, I'm glad we're talking about this because we originally started this episode because The Conjuring Last Rites, which is coming out later this year, doesn't have a trailer yet, and there's not that much information about it at the moment, except that it is going to be the thrilling conclusion of the Conjuring universe, and that The Conjuring 3 sets up an epic conclusion. It doesn't, but yeah, I'm upset I watched that movie. Because I was like, The Conjuring, I'll defend The Conjuring.
Yeah, of course, Conjuring 1 and 2 are good.
But God, The Conjuring, The Devil Made Me Do It sucks, assholes.
Yeah, and damn,
so
dude.
What, so the
epic, oh, yeah, so anyway.
The thrilling conclusion that The Conjuring 3
the thrilling conclusion
is huffing assholes.
That I always thought they were going to build to was, even though it doesn't make sense timeline-wise, if they just ended with the Amityville Horror.
Oh, yeah.
Because, like, you don't want to start your franchise like that because it's a remake. But if it's characters you already have built around, Patrick Wilson and Vera
Vera something
is right in front of me.
Yeah.
Vera Farmiga.
Okay. Yeah.
It's like, we know them. It's Ed and Lorraine.
Yeah.
Then at the end, you're like, it's Amityville Horror. And you could just call it like, I don't know, The Conjuring, whatever.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh my God. Sorry, I did a burp because the devil made me do it.
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
Dude. Yeah. So build towards that because that's like their big famous case. But they're doing the Smurl haunting. The Smurl haunting has this awesome thing, which is between, not allegedly, this is what happened.
Yeah.
Between 1974 and 1989, a demon lived in their home.
Well, threw their dog into a wall. Damn.
Anyway,
dude.
At one point, the Smurls are like, so they bring the Warrens in. The Warrens like, wow, this is a really dangerous demon.
It's crazy.
We're going to pray and play religious music.
Yeah.
Then someone wrote on the mirror, get out. And they were like, damn. Anyway.
Okay.
They do that. There's a lot of publicity. Mm. And then the Smurl family are like, ugh. We're so sick of all these people coming to our house. So the next move is to publish a book with the Warrens called The Haunting, which is famous.
Okay.
Yeah.
Been made into a movie and a TV show before.
And I'm guessing, like, you know, they get a bit of a, you know, the Warrens will get a certain percentage. The Smurls will get another percentage.
Smurls.
Jack and Janet Smurl.
I really like that demons or devils, whatever you want to call these little guys. I like that they, you know, adhere to sort of like property boundaries.
Yeah.
Like if you're the neighbor, you're like, whoo. Dodged a bullet there.
Shit's going down at the Smurl residence, but I'm fine.
I'm pretty sure that's a plot point of The Conjuring 2.
Yeah.
That's
great. But that it sticks to a house?
Or does it follow the family because they go stay at a different house? The Enfield.
Yeah, well, because, well, hey, if you know your shit, poltergeists are attached to people. That's right. Ghosts are attached to houses.
Yeah.
So poltergeists and insidious.
Yeah. Yes.
And demons and devils
aren't real. Ghosts and poltergeists are.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Cool.
That's the line I draw.
The thing. It's not the demon didn't make you do it. The ghost made you do it.
No, you fucking idiot. Yeah. The house wasn't haunted. The guy wasn't. Oh, the poltergeist,
the poltergeist made,
poltergeist
made, you
made
do me do it.
Guys,
yeah.
Think.
I know it is. It's so ridiculous.
Yeah.
Is this because this is meant to be the thrilling conclusion of the like Conjuring? Well, is it going to include Annabelle and the Nun?
I'm guessing that.
Yeah.
So, they with the Smurl haunting again because it's like the late 80s at this point.
Yeah.
The Warrens had to really step up the game, so they'd hidden. They're throwing a lot of like, this is the most powerful demon we've ever seen,
Of course.
And because the alleged big finale to The Conjuring 3 that builds towards it is that, like, yeah, it's kind of building towards that. I guess hell and demons and shit hate the Warrens,
yeah,
and it feels like they're like trying more and more to take them out.
I mean, if you'll recall, in the first Conjuring movie. Lorraine Warren keeps having like these flashbacks to like an exorcism they did, where she got possessed by a devil, possibly the Nun devil. I don't really remember.
No, that's in The Conjuring 2, and
but isn't even in the first one she's having flashbacks to it? I'm pretty sure.
Well, yeah, the Nun devil. She is possessed by the Nun devil in The Conjuring 2.
Yeah,
because it's scary because that nun's just everywhere.
Yeah,
but then in the third one, the devil gives Ed a heart attack.
Got him. Got his ass, Steve.
Yeah. So, like, basically, the opening of the film is the Warrens doing an exorcism on that little boy in real life. So, again, all real names.
Yeah.
I do love that, like, in these supernatural...
And then Ed has a heart attack during the exorcism, but as he's passing out from the heart attack, he sees the devil go into Arn.
The devil made me do it.
The devil's going to make him do it. But then he's fine.
Okay.
But then it ends with... Then it ends with they take the cup, which is the evil thing in this movie.
Sure.
Evil cup, yeah.
And then they put it in their spook room. Next to the Annabelle doll and the Varlock painting, which is the painting of the nun.
Nun ghoul,
I love that spook room.
Yeah.
All three of the horrible spooks are in one room.
Oh, no, dude.
I sure hope that the Smurls don't move into that room.
I really like with these horror films where, like, you know, it's the devil. It's like ghosts are supernatural. And so it's just like, they got it out for the Warren, so we're going to send a heart attack.
Yeah, I know.
It's a similar kind of vibe to, I think, like, you know, Final Destination, where it's like, these motherfuckers skipped. They didn't die when they were meant to. I'm going to set up an elaborate Rube Goldberg machine so I can squish this person's head with weights.
Yeah.
Fuck that guy.
Yeah,
how
dare
he not get gotten my crash?
You're not going to believe this, but the most recent Final Destination sort of explains why that happens.
Is death a bit bored? Yeah. Is he just like kind of loves it?
It's sort of like the whole point with Final Destination deaths is that when people skip death, it means they're aware of death and the death is coming for them.
So they need to give it to in a tricky way?
So death has to kind of sneak up on them.
Sure,
a heart attack would still sneak up on them, but...
Like, mate, hey, look, death, devils, brain aneurysm. God,
that'll
come
do
on.
It.
Well... Again, Final Destination, except it's cancer.
Yeah.
The, like, death in Final Destination, in the newest Final Destination, has given a character cancer because they keep avoiding
Severin Gold.
So, like, death just gives up. It's like, fuck it, cancer.
I'm reading...
Dodge this, idiot!
Yeah, that's exactly what happens.
No, don't do chemo. No.
She gets... So, this isn't spoilers because it's, like, the setup for the movie.
Yeah.
But basically, it turns out that the entire Final Destination franchise... is happening because in the 50s there's a restaurant, they do like one of those like skyline restaurant things,
oh yeah,
and
one of the people in there has a vision of everyone on there dying.
Yeah.
Like,
mm-hmm.
The whole thing goes
classic
down.
Final Destination, yeah.
But then it turns out that everyone in the Final Destination franchise
is connected to that.
Is part of the family trees connected to people.
That's
that
very funny.
So Death is like, none of these family trees are meant to exist. So he's like trying to prune the branches.
Okay.
That's kind of cool.
And the one person who had the vision at the first Final Destination is dying of cancer because she's like, she kind of figured out. Mm-hmm. She got like Final Destination brain. She's like, oh, okay, death comes to you in all these ways.
Yeah.
So then she pretty much just built a bunker, and then all of a sudden she got cancer. She's like, you sneaky motherfucker.
That's great.
Yeah.
Well, that's
kind of Final Destination's good.
Yeah, no, I'm a big fan of him. I like that kind of. It's very reminiscent of Dark in a weird way, where it's just like the family tree. None of this is good.
To be.
None of this is good. Stop it.
I'm reading about the Smurl haunting.
Yeah.
Spokespeople from the Roman Catholic Church, the Diocese of Scranton, said they were unsure what might be causing the disturbances. A theology professor said there's probably less demonic explanations. Like, it's awesome. You read these things, and everybody other than the Warrens is like, it's probably not demons.
Well, the Enfield one is so funny, because there's like, oh, look at these horrible photos of this little girl floating above her bed. And then you put all three next to each other, it's like, oh, she just... They just took photos of her jumping on her bed.
Yeah. And it's extremely clear that she's just jumping on the bed.
But I have a kind of a swing for the fence here.
Okay, please.
Only seeing one Conjure ring is that I'm guessing as this the big finale of the Conjuring universe film franchise. The comp. Is that...
Okay, so you know how we're in a constant state of chaos and fighting for our lives every single day on this godforsaken earth? Between work and everything else falling apart around me, I have not had it together enough to meal prep or plan dinner, or honestly, function like a normal human being most weeknights. Cooking something good is hard, and I deserve a modicum of joy every now and again. That's why I've turned to Omaha Steaks. My freezer is full. That's sorted. It is genuinely the one part of my life running smoothly. Real steaks, burgers, seafood, chicken, sides, all shipped to my door. So even on the nights where everything else is on fire, dinner isn't one more thing to stress about. I made the burgers the other night, didn't even have the energy to think, just pulled them out, threw them on the grill, and they tasted like something from an actual steakhouse. Somehow, the one corner of my life that's together is the one I didn't even have to think about. If you've never tried them, the Burger Perfection Flight is the easiest way in. 20 premium steak burgers across 5 cuts. So try the Burger Perfection Flight at omahasteaks.com today. That's 20 premium steak burgers for just $79.99. Plus, get $35 off with promo code BEEF. That's right, BEEF. B-E-E-F. omahasteaks.com, promo code BEEF for $35 off at checkout. Terms apply. See site for details.
This Smurl demon
is
responsible for Eric.
Course.
I mean, it would be a crazy finale if it turns out that this isn't a demon. It's the devil, like capital D.
Oh, yeah, capital D devil.
Satan.
It is Satan.
It is Lucifer himself.
Yeah. It's the Morning Star.
Because it's fun. It's very funny as well. Like, you can't... How do you escalate, really?
Yeah.
Like, how do
you just... the trick, and it's a trick that people, if it's done well, is good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The Final Destination example I just gave. Yeah. But if it's done bad, pretty much any DCU situation.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. People love when you tie shit together, but if you fuck it up, people hate it.
Absolutely.
I hate it.
Yeah.
You gotta do it, otherwise you gotta be planning for it, I think.
You gotta be really good and be like, oh yeah, this was actually like, you know, we've set this up from the very beginning.
Yeah.
This, I feel like it hasn't been.
Absolutely.
And they're gonna shoehorn the shit out of it.
They did not expect to get this many movies out of Ed and Lorraine Warren.
No, so I reckon there's gonna be like, you know, the big reveal or whatever is like the holy shit, actually, this is the demon that actually possessed the fucker that made him kill his landlord. This is a demon that told his demon underling to go and present. Like, he's orchestrating it all.
He's
because,
the puppet master.
Yeah. And they're all about trying to kill the Warrens.
Yeah, and they
and
can
so
even...
They did all these to attract the Warrens because they kept trying to be like, we're gonna fucking get him.
I think they'll throw in
and
like
so
a...
crafty, we avoided your bullshit.
You know, like the classic thing in Hell is like you have like dukes and princes.
Oh, yeah.
I think they'll be like, this demon, the Smurl demon, is like the prince of hell, and the three other demons that we've dealt with are his underlings, so he's been sending them out to get us, but finally, there'll probably be a scene where they're investigating the Smurl haunting, and they'll be like, wait, he wanted us to come here.
Yeah, like, wait a second, this is by design.
It's a trap for the Warrens. It's a trap! Do you think they'll address his pedophilia in this movie?
I don't think so.
You don't reckon? That's interesting to me.
Maybe.
Maybe.
It turns
Judith Penny will come in. There'll be a post-credit scene in 2017 where Judith Penny claimed that she had a 40-year sexual relationship with Ed starting when she was 15.
Forced her to have an abortion? Yeah.
Yeah. Do you reckon that'll happen in the movie?
I think that'll be kind of a bummer. But it would be crazy if they end the franchise with ghosts aren't real, I'm just a pedophile.
Or what if they what if they try and end the movie with like, ghosts are real and they made me do it. They're the reason.
The devil made me do it.
The devil couldn't kill me, so they made me a pedophile.
The devil gave me a heart attack, which retroactively made me a pedophile.
Yeah.
Which I think if you go timeline-wise, that's already taken place.
So retroactively made
Retroactively in the past that's made him a...
So, like, I saw the devil 10 years, like, you know, into the future.
Yeah.
And then, like, 10 years in the past, it made me a pedophile.
I think that's going to be an incredible performance from Patrick Wilson, honestly.
He's got the chops.
He's got the chops to pull it off, I reckon.
Hey, do you know what I just found out? And I find this very funny because it's kind of just like the slop version of it.
Yeah.
The Nun is the highest grossing entry in the entire franchise.
What the fuck?
People fucking went crazy for the Nun.
Well, she's spooky looking.
Yeah, she is spooky looking. That's
and
true.
Like, you know, I want to go get spooked. I like look around. I see a poster. I'm like,
oh. Oh, yeah, the Nun.
Yeah, I'll go see that. I'm a bit spooked already.
And also, I guess, because the Conjuring movies did that thing where they were like, who is this Nun?
Yeah.
Who the fuck done on?
And it seems like it's a, you know, an important part. So you're like, oh, that'll answer the question. But clearly, because there's two,
I forgot.
It's like an origin of the Nun.
Yeah, it's like, who's the Nun?
Yeah, like, oh my God, spooky.
Well, why is the Nun bad?
Yeah.
Maybe she was just a Nun.
It's funny that I think Annabelle 2, maybe she was just a Nun.
Nuns are scary.
Nuns are scary. That's true. Annabelle... The second one, because she breaks out of the Warren's spooky museum in one of the Conjuring movies.
Yeah.
And then I think the Annabelle movie, maybe that's Annabelle 2, is like, what's she up to now that she's out? What's she doing?
So I think...
Because one is the origin of Annabelle, which from memory, it doesn't really give.
No. So Annabelle... So there's Annabelle, Annabelle Creation, and Annabelle Comes Home. And I'm pretty sure...
Yeah.
Annabelle is set after The Conjuring where Annabelle goes missing.
Okay.
Annabelle Creation, which is the good one, is the origin of Annabelle. Okay. And then Annabelle Comes Home is when, you're not going to believe this, Annabelle Comes Home.
Whoa.
What?
Because the Warrens are in Annabelle Comes Home.
Oh, I see.
Who, what? Okay. Annabelle is the little doll that's
been possessed. That's the fucked up doll from the start of The First Conjuring.
Do we know like how, like what's possessed the doll?
Well, Annabelle
is also...
Could
it be a Schmurl demon?
Annabelle is the first case that the Warrens took in real life.
Yeah. But I'm saying, do we know in the movie, in the franchise?
A doll maker named Samuel Mullins and his wife Esther grieve for the loss of their 7-year-old daughter Annabelle, nicknamed Bee, who dies when she accidentally steps in front of a car.
Okay, is that the true story or is that the Conjuring story?
This is the Conjuring story.
Okay.
Hang on, I'll try and find the real story.
No, I don't tell because I'm just wondering, because this could they, again, are they going to shoehorn... Like,
It is a demon.
Are they going to make a real-life tragedy a devil?
Yes.
Well, they already might have done that.
They've done that heaps.
So, like, for example, a scene, and I don't know if this happened in, say, the Annabelle franchise, but you see, like, you know, a little girl about to walk onto the streets, and then, like, you hear the car crash or whatever, people screaming, right? If that is a scene in, like, Annabelle, and maybe they revisit the scene in this, but... Maybe it's a little like the like, you know, the focal point is a little bit further up in the bushes over there. There's a Smurl demon beckoning the girl in front of
Welcome back.
Yeah, come to the, you know, walk in front of the car because I know if I do this, your parents are going to make a doll and then I'm going to get that upstanding citizen.
I'm going to turn him into a pedophile.
Yeah. And then I'll turn him into a pedophile because, that's my plan as a devil.
That's my sneaky plan.
I'm a sneaky, sneaky devil.
I just tried, because I know I've seen Annabelle Creation and I was like, how does it, and reading through the plot synopsis...
No bells rung.
I would probably have to watch the movie again.
Why she's in the doll?
Well, yeah, because it seems like she isn't in the doll, but she can become the doll.
She dies.
Who?
The girl.
The girl. Yeah, but then so is there's a demon all of a sudden. Yeah.
Is a little girl in the doll?
Or is it the classic horror movie thing where it's like, oh my God, it's our little girl, but then it's not the little girl. It's been a demon the whole time, and the little girl's in heaven. Yeah. Or hell if it was a bad little girl.
Yeah. Well, apparently 12 years later, there's a new family, and they move into the house, and then one of them opens a door, and Annabelle the doll is in there, but that releases a demon, so... I don't know, dude.
Dude, I know I gotta watch the Annabelle movies.
Yeah.
For some reason I haven't seen them. Anyway, the real life Annabelle, which is what you were asking.
Yeah, yeah.
A nursing student in Connecticut was given the doll in 1970.
Thanks.
The nurse said, wow, this doll's weird.
Oh yuck, I hate this doll.
And the specifics, however, are mixed.
Okay, yeah, okay. Interesting.
Some say that the nursing student Donna said, oh, the doll lifted its arms when it was placed on the kitchen table. And then others have said, oh, the doll walked around the apartment. And then when you open the door, it would just be standing there waiting for you in with a frozen smile.
Uh-huh.
And then allegedly Donna, the medical student, took the doll to a psychic medium, and the psychic medium's like, damn.
Doll's haunted.
This doll has the spirit of a deceased 6-year-old girl named Annabelle.
Yeah.
And then the medical student and her housemates are like, well, let's try and look after this little girl. But then the doll exhibited malicious and frightening behavior.
Okay.
But then in 1987, the Warrens were giving a lecture.
I reckon.
Where they were delving into the Annabelle case. They claimed the doll had the tendency to give, so you've heard what has been reported relatively, not firsthand because people don't really remember what the fuck's going on, but basically it's like, oh, Annabelle would maybe move by itself.
Yeah, like just literally like the most basic haunted doll shit.
You know how, you're a med student. I'm assuming you live in a share house with other med students. You know, it's like hours are pretty grueling, probably sleep deprived.
You know, and love drugs and alcohol.
But you're, dealing
it's
with, you know, a lot
70s.
Of stuff. Right?
You're fucking.
Dude, you're fucking. You're doing all that.
I got heaps of bush.
Dude, your bush is luscious.
My bush is lit.
Everyone's bush is luscious.
Yeah.
And like, say, you know, you're pretty sleep deprived, but like, you know, there's not a lot of fun happening because you're dealing with, you know, people dying often.
So
you're like, well, someone's got a little fucked up thought. What if we start doing like a little prank around the house? A little share house prank.
Yeah.
Move a doll every now and again. You know, just something harmless like that.
Just a bit of
and
fun.
And that's it. Say, someone gets a bit of a jump scare, a bit of a spook, and that kind of is maybe where it all originates from.
Absolutely.
And suddenly that starts snowballing
because somebody reports it, and then somebody puts it in a book.
At a bar, you overhear them talking about, like, you know, you hear, like, you know, maybe the second half of conversation.
Yeah.
Where they're talking about, like, oh, yeah, so I put the doll in, like, blah, 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 and then, you know...
Or even,
Jane opened the door and she's like, oh, I got a spook because the doll moved. And they overhear, the doll moved.
Oh
and
my
they
God.
Tell someone else. And then it just keeps going and going.
Or even like, you know, the doll appears to move by itself and the med student is like, I got to tell someone and reports it somewhere. And then her friends are like, oh, no, we were just fucking with you. And she's like, well, I'm not going to admit that.
Yeah.
Well, they gave basically...
And people were like, you just move on with your life.
Sleep deprived.
Yeah.
Like, I think something's gone wrong with my brain.
It's a Raggedy Ann doll. They gave it to the Warrens straight after the part of the story I said. But then the Warrens, in their lecture, they say, this doll, it loves to give psychic slashes to people it doesn't like, drawing blood as if she had used a knife.
It threw
a priest across the room.
Not a priest. Only one?
Yeah.
Not six?
Not six priests.
And then, sorry. It didn't throw a priest across the room. A priest threw it across the room, claiming...
That's not notable.
So, wait, but this is the notable part. A priest throws Annabelle across the room and declared, no doll is stronger than God. Only to run into a tree with his car on the way home and die.
Oh, my God. The doll got him.
Well, look, no doll is stronger than God, but a tree is stronger than a car.
Well, Ed, famous pedophile Ed Warren said, no doll or demon is stronger than God. That's true. But a demon is stronger than a man or a priest. And then the doll...
I didn't say a demon is stronger than a car.
Yeah.
And then the doll also... And this is all...
playing the trees.
This is all part of the same lecture. It's also like, also a homicide detective was forced into early retirement because Annabelle stabbed him. Dude, I don't think Annabelle did any of this.
It's crazy that paranormal, like, you know, this grift still exists today. Have you ever heard of the missing 411? So there's a guy named David Pilates, right? And he releases these.
Whoa, did he invent the Pilates?
Yeah, he did. The inventor of Pilates. And he released these extremely expensive books called The Missing 411. And they're about mysterious disappearances in national parks. Okay. And you see the shit gets shared online. People are like, oh, people go missing in national parks all the time. It's very mysterious. And that's because of this motherfucker, David Pilates, who charges $700 for a book or some shit. And in it, he's like,
$700 a book?
He's like, there's a mysterious number of people who go missing in national parks, somehow ignoring the fact that people go missing in the woods all the time because
It's the woods, dude. No one lived there. There's no paths.
There's this incredibly famous case about this kid that went missing, right? And it's like he disappeared from his he was away from his family for 5 minutes, and all of a sudden they turned around and where was he? We don't know what's going on. And a family, you know, 10 miles away, they said they saw a little boy, or they heard a little boy scream, and also the National Guard was called in. So like, what were they covering up? We don't know what happened to the kid, but then. There's this YouTuber I like called The Missing Enigma, and he did an episode on it, and he's like, there are like 10 reports about a white van stealing a, like taking a kid and rushing out of the park at the time. It's just, the kid just got kidnapped. That's all it is. But because there's this bumper industry where you can go in and say,
I don't know, maybe
Bigfoot's stealing children. I don't fucking know.
Yeah, dude, I've actually been reading some stuff. It sounds like maybe the Warrens didn't know shit and it was just Bigfoot stealing children.
Maybe Bigfoot stealing kids. I don't know. Why are people going missing in national parks?
Probably Bigfoot is
stealing them. Not people are fucking like, wait, I'm lost. Oh, now I'm dead. Which is just...
Oh, no, I've gotten kidnapped.
Yeah, exactly.
Because maybe a famous pedophile...
Yeah, exactly. Ed Warren was in the national park at the time, driving his van. It's just so ridiculous. I don't actually think they saw...
Can't sue for libel, can they?
No, which is useful. Yeah. It's useful. David Pilates is alive, but I'd like to see him come for me.
Yeah. To prove that I have smeared your name, you need to prove that the devil is real.
Yeah, exactly.
And he'll be like, no, that's not how courts work in Australia. You need to prove what you said is true.
Yeah.
I don't need to prove jack shit.
Fuck.
I'm in trouble.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Dude. If you're in trouble, I'm in trouble.
Well, I don't think I said...
The company, I think, has a lawyer.
I said he has released expensive books full of bullshit.
Yeah.
But I'm not the only guy saying that.
Are you the only guy saying it to an audience, though?
No.
Oh, okay, thank God. Yeah, you're safe.
Don't worry,
I think
what
you're saying is making, like, you know, $700 of a book of bullshit.
Yeah.
That's like opinion as well.
Yeah, exactly.
That's not really viable.
I think what he's saying is...
If we were to say something like, someone else's whatever, but like, with Ed Warren, to be like, hey... Pedophile.
Yeah.
Like, that's true.
Yeah. And then people might say, hey, that's not true. And I'll say, okay, he was a pedophile for 3 years and then he was a groomer.
Yeah. Well,
exactly. Well, I guess he was a groomer.
Groomer slash pedophile.
Yeah. Well, he's a groomer, but I guess before she, because I guess they would have met before she was 15.
Yeah.
So he was a groomer before
that. Not necessarily.
That.
He could have.
Oh, that's true. He could have met them.
He could have assaulted a child on their first meeting.
He might have met her at the front of a high school.
Yeah,
like,
true.
You don't know.
So yeah. I don't know if you can become a pedophile then a groomer.
Yeah. You got to go groomer first.
Yeah, I guess it's groomer, even if it's like
a 5 minutes.
Yeah, exactly.
I guess it's groomer slash pedophile and then just groomer.
Yeah. Well, you're kind of both.
Yeah.
You're kind of both. You don't lose pedophile.
I think we. Once a pedophile, always a pedophile. And I'll say that about Ed Warren until I die.
Yeah. We all will.
I wonder what the feedback to that claim was, because it doesn't seem like that anyone denied it.
Well, I don't know if anybody was alive to deny it, unfortunately.
No, Lorraine was alive when these claims were made.
Okay, well, there you go.
Yeah, but I think also, like, from what I've been gathering, it's like Lorraine knew about this from like the sentence JD said moments ago.
So it's kind of no surprise she kept mum on the whole subject.
Yeah, and also Lorraine had it written into her contract for the Conjuring films that she and Ed could not be portrayed engaging in extramarital affairs or engaging in crimes like sex with a minor. That seems like a strange... Like, if I was worried about someone making a movie
about... Yeah, if somebody was making a baseless speculation in the movie...
I wouldn't need to put, don't make me fuck kids.
Hey, famous director, Kay, can you just... as a clause.
Yeah, I just have one stipulation. Like, just okay,
Jack and JD. You can make a show about this, you know, make a movie about the podcast. That's great. We love it.
That's amazing. Happened. Yeah, thank you so much.
Any extramarital affairs, especially sex with minors, can we just like? Yeah. If you creatively think that it might need that,
don't. Yeah.
Mr. One.
Because it didn't happen.
Yeah, I don't know what your plan is for the movie, but if you show me having sex with a child, like if that's what you were thinking about doing,
I wouldn't.
I might write it in my contract, don't do that. If that's chill.
Yeah, I don't think, like, there's no reason. There's no reason why you should have that as a thought.
Yeah.
But just in case.
Just in case you do.
Creatively you wanted.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'd say probably nah. Probably don't show that.
Yucky.
Probably don't show me doing that. Yeah. That would really change the tone of the movies,
though.
Yeah, I
think it would. Yeah,
do you think that was James Wan's initial like?
Yeah,
plan?
Like anyway. So they're going to be haunted by this Annabelle doll, and then in the next scene, Ed's going to go fuck a kid.
Actually, maybe don't.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, man.
It is kind of funny how much. I mean, I guess the Conjuring universe movies don't work unless you really like hook on the fact that the Warrens are.
But it's funny because I think they're kind of the weakest part of the movies in a weird way. I think what the spookiest scenes in The Conjuring 2 are when it's that little British child just being haunted. Like, that's scary. And The Conjuring 1 is the same.
Yeah.
When it's the family just being harassed by a ghost, it's scary.
Yeah.
When the Warrens turn up, I think actually the movies...
Well, because it's not... Because they sort of... Like, they have more of a grasp of what's happening. Yeah. So it becomes almost like an action movie against ghosts.
Yeah.
Sort of.
It becomes almost as like a superhero movie quality to it, even where it's like
we're here and we're gonna be fighting for our lives.
The ghosts in this house using our magic powers rather than just like a straight spooky haunting movie, which is funny. It's funny that the Warrens sort of like I'm not invested in the fact that Lorraine was possessed once.
Yeah, I guess they're like trying to like mythify themselves.
Absolutely,
this as well. Which
I think they even in the first
really, you know, any sort of like potential bad reputation that they might have, like after say you know Ed died and it all came out.
Yeah.
Really, like maybe a film franchise to kind of like revitalize and really just
absolutely. Well, it's funny because it's the same thing that their books did. They're just doing again with the movies.
Yeah.
From the grave.
Yeah. Do you think maybe like you?
What killed Ed?
Ed Warren was just like, horrible things I have done. So I'll just make up shit about ghosts.
Yeah.
Then everyone
maybe.
Will be like, I'll talk about the ghosts. So well, be like, hey, Mr. Ed Warren, I hear that you're attracted to children. And he'll be like, have you heard about
Wrong.
The spooking?
I'm fighting the devil with the power of Christ.
Okay.
Yeah.
Nice
try,
so about
Ashley.
That, hang on, the devil of the, wait, so you're fighting ghosts,
doll.
Are you?
Yeah.
And so maybe just
would
trying
a
to
man with a haunted
people?
Doll fuck a child? I don't think so. Okay. I don't think so, buddy.
Well, you put it like
would
that.
Would a man
Ed?
With a haunted doll and a magic cup and a magic painting fuck a child?
I think not.
Yeah. I doubt it.
That'd be impossible.
Okay.
One man could not simply have this many things happening in their life.
I have a whole haunted museum. You think I have time to fuck a kid?
Exactly. With a man with a whole haunted museum, think about all the haunties I deal with. What time do I
when have?
When do I have the chance or opportunity to prey on a child?
I'd love to be fucking kids, okay?
Yeah.
But there's demons to be vanquishing.
You know what? Don't quote me on that, actually.
Look, if I had the opportunity, yes!
Who
if
amongst
I had the time, of course. But I barely have enough time to make love to my disgusting adult wife.
I gotta maintain my haunted museum. You tell me when I'm fucking a kid.
Okay. Yeah. Please tell me on this timeline, because I'd love to fit into my schedule if I could.
Yeah, between the Amityville Horror, the Smule Haunting, the Enfield Poltergeist.
You know how many children I could have been preying on?
None of these hauntings happened in high school.
Yeah, exactly.
I wish they did.
I wish that would be great for me.
Yeah.
But maybe some of them happened near high schools. That was a bonus.
The Enfield haunting involved children. But I didn't fuck any of them.
Yeah. You can prove.
Ed.
Now.
Please stop.
We're going to have to fix up our contracts for the movies, Ed, I think. It's funny that, 1997, New England Skeptic Society.
Uh-huh.
Are like, let's investigate the Warrens.
Yeah.
Oh, good. Someone should.
Their reports find that the
he's a pedophile.
No, well, it's actually the opposite, sort of. Well, not the opposite.
Yeah.
I would say usually not associated.
Yeah.
They're like, yeah, okay. The couple are pleasant people, but their claims of demons and ghosts are at best meaningless ghost stories, and at worst, they're dangerous frauds.
Yeah.
They found their videos, looked at all the evidence that the Warrens gave them, and they said, it's all blarney. They found common errors with flash photography and nothing evil in the artifacts that the Warrens had collected.
Mm-hmm.
They have a ton of stories about evidence that got away. They're not doing good scientific investigation. They have a predetermined conclusion, which they adhere to literally and religiously.
Mm-hmm.
I do like the idea of like, yeah, send us your artifacts. This isn't evil at all. Like, pick it up. Yeah. Like, I don't
this
know,
is just a cup.
A dice.
Yeah. Where's the evil?
Pick up a cup.
Oh, it's just a cup, dude.
What if I drink out of this?
Yeah. What the hell?
Nothing happened. Strange.
Huh. Yeah, man. It's truly one of the oldest grifts, you know?
Yeah, man.
Because people would like to believe in ghosts.
Great, man. People just want to be grifted.
So if people love being grifted. So if you go, you know, you go, yeah, you're getting haunted by a ghost. People go, oh, fuck, what do I got? What do
I guess
you?
I understand ghosts. Like, I get ghosts. But if someone's like, you have black mold and that's making you see things and go a bit crazy, I'm like, but ghosts, though.
But ghosts is an easier explanation and costs me less.
Yeah. Because I understand ghosts.
Yeah.
But black mold means I gotta, like, you know, maybe do something.
Yeah, I probably gotta get some kind of special, like,
guys to come
and fix it, and then probably gotta go see a doctor and shit, and
probably take some medication.
Yeah.
And also with, like, all the black mold, then I gotta, like, figure out, like, not only do I get rid of then I gotta, like, you know, do shit to the house.
Yeah.
That's gonna be costly.
Exactly.
But if a ghost, though, I can write a book and make money.
Yeah, exactly. You just need Lorraine Warren to come in and do an exorcism.
Yeah.
And you go, great, I'm good, dude.
Yeah, this is awesome. Yeah.
And you just keep huffing the black mold.
Yeah, got to that point where you're like, hey, you call up the Warrens, you're like, hello, hi, I have black mold. But look, you just want to, like, say, you don't have to come over. You can just say you came over.
Oh, yeah, dude. And absolutely.
Like, you want to do this? Or we can just do that.
You could do that today.
Yeah.
With people that aren't the Warrens. It's probably hotlines, dude.
Yeah. I was
reading this article about this website where you can get shampoo that will help you win the lottery. So fucking
okay. So what I need you to do right now, is find a link to that and send it to our good friend Cass.
Yeah, dude, that's so dangerous. There's like floor cleaner that'll get you a promotion at your next job.
Shampoo that'll help you.
Yeah, let me find the thing. Okay,
don't do that. Don't.
It's an American website, so.
Yeah,
dude.
I guess people really want to believe in. Yeah, anything to get by.
You know,
it's just like, I don't know.
Are you sure?
Like,
I can't find.
Let me find it for you.
It's kind of like, I don't know. It's a life is chaos and it's random and it's all chance.
No,
and the idea that
signs everywhere, Joel.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, like the idea that you could win the lottery really has nothing to do with anything. It's just like it just happens to be. You know, someone needs to have maybe picked the right numbers and just on this one time it was you. So well done. Here's the money.
Mm-hmm.
But like, no one wants to hear that. No one wants to be like, it's all just random and chaos. There's no method or like rhyme or reason.
I like that. Things just happen.
Things
who cares?
Happen.
Yeah,
whatever.
Dude.
But people don't. People are like, no, it's got to be a supernatural reason.
And that's where the Warrens come better. And fuck your kid.
Yeah, dude. People forget we're just apes in cars.
Yeah, we are just apes in cars.
That's all we are, dude. You don't look at a chimpanzee and I think a chimpanzee is noticing patterns in our life or whatever. You know, or it's a classic thing where it's like, well, human beings evolved to be able to recognize patterns to help us survive. And now people are like, the chemtrails are controlling my every move.
You know, everything happens.
Red and yellow cars keep following
I'm being
me
gang stalked, I think. No, you're just ape brain is constantly looking for predators. That's all that's happening.
I do like the idea that everything happens for a reason because that means that we were always meant to be podcasters and our audience was always meant to get sucked in into listening to this.
Yeah, that is funny.
Gotcha. No, just kidding. We didn't even get you. Yeah. Destiny did, allegedly.
Yeah. Destiny got us, dude.
Yeah, fuck.
I could have worked at a bank.
Yeah, dude.
The dream job.
Well, I can't I'll find that. I'll do better research and I'll find that that scam website and send it to you, dude.
Yeah, sweet. Please. Please do.
It's worth a read. But
yeah, I've figured out the connection between so those two movies that aren't really included in the Conjuring universe but are in the Conjuring universe, which is funny. So I think the only like distinction I can find is that The Curse of the Weeping Woman and Wolves at the Door don't feature the Warrens.
Yeah.
It's nothing to do with the things Warrens have touched. But Wolf at the Door features the detective that investigates something. And The Curse of the Weeping Woman features the priest that investigates Annabelle.
Okay.
Clearly, that somebody, at some point, there was this, like, massive expansion of the Conjuring franchise where they were like, we can just include, like, for that extra boost in viewers, any horror movie we're making, just get a cast member from one of the other Conjuring movies, chuck them in, you'll get some more bums in seats. And then I think people, they were like, okay, no one cares about the Conjuring movies anymore. Let's bring it back into stuff that's more closely associated with it.
Like they did that. It was like, I don't think it mattered.
Yeah, I don't think it helped, actually. Our movies were stick and morally reprehensible.
At the top of the episode, you were like, I don't understand why they made this into a franchise. Yeah. But I kind of get it. It's that it's that kind of thing where you're like, when it came out, like, you know, Marvel had done like, hey, we did it. We cracked that code. So everyone had, you know, everyone wanted to crack at it.
Yeah.
And like, spooky horror stuff. I get it. Like, there's like a long history of that. Yeah. Like, you know, is it the Abbott
Wolfman
fighting
meets Frankenstein? Yeah. Beats the shit out of Dracula or whatever.
Abbott and Costello. Those are the comedy duo. They keep meeting all the monsters. And so it's like
the monsters just meet the monsters as well.
Yeah,
Godzilla.
Yeah,
he's meeting all the other monsters.
It's honestly going on. Godzilla v Dracula. Has this happened?
It fucking should, dude. Yeah.
Well, the Conjuring universe is the highest grossing horror franchise in history.
I mean, it's honestly pretty impressive they managed to do a connected universe.
Because, like, again,
so many other ones failed at it, so you've got to give them props.
Well,
because like, Paranormal Activity, like, that was just like sequels, but it was all very much
sequels in a weird way.
The best one, I think.
Yeah, I
think the third one's the best one.
I love the marked. Is it called the marked ones?
Yes,
it's funny as hell,
but like, I get it because you're like,
do you reckon they're happy to hear that?
No, it's intentional. Have you ever seen it?
I haven't seen the marked ones,
dude. The marked ones is it's like a complete inversion of the entire Paranormal Activity franchise. In a way that's awesome. Like, you know, at the end of every Paranormal Activity, they're like, the demon has got us and we're fucked. We need to run. In this one, the guys are like, let's get our cousins and a bunch of guns.
And then let's go and beat the shit out of
this demon. That's how it, and then they go and they try and they're like, we got to fight these witches, dude. It's genuinely, it's so fucking good, dude. I love
That's a great way to, like, you know, have your cake and eat it too, to have your franchise. Be like, and let's just flip it around. See, everyone's big, like, man, this is, everyone's always in the same. We're all scared about demons. Da, 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 da. Same universe. Let's flip it.
Yeah.
Starts off spooky action.
Yeah. It rocks. I thought it was really a good movie.
I got to check it out.
I see the appeal of doing a franchise with spooky shit.
Yeah. I mean, hey, the list of highest grossing horror movie franchises is pretty crazy.
Yeah.
Coming in at number 20 on the list is Beetlejuice.
I guess that's a franchise.
There's two movies.
Oh, well, the
cartoon.
And a
cartoon. Cartoon, good point. Yeah. Good point.
No. So this counts as a franchise because it's got two movies.
Oh, okay.
Are we calling, like, sequels franchises now?
Apparently.
I suppose so.
That seems, okay.
That's not how I would have done it.
I would say a franchise is more like, you know, I think you need at least one spin-off.
Yeah. You need one spin-off or you need four movies. Then I think you can call yourself a franchise.
I think three. A trilogy makes it a franchise to me.
I don't know, because I think to me,
it's just a trilogy.
Yeah, but a trilogy of movies is still a movie franchise.
I guess.
Like, I'm not saying... Like,
I guess if you can include like video games and TV shows and art and books and shit.
Or it counts as a franchise if there's more than one movie and they've done other shit.
Yeah, that's okay.
Yeah, I'll cop that. Yeah.
What about toys? If they make what if they make two movies and an action figure?
No. But if they make two movies and a cartoon, sure.
You're going to be pissed off to hear that It is the fourth highest grossing horror movie franchise
that's
ever.
That's so funny. But It, I reckon, gets a pass because there's remake. It's a remake. Because there was I think that's okay. Because then it's a franchise you can return to. I think that
they're returning to it. They're making a TV series.
Yeah, Welcome to Derry or whatever, based on one chapter in the book, which is pretty funny.
Same clown, dude. Once the TV series hits, I'm like, it's a franchise.
Yeah.
Otherwise, you're just remaking a movie.
Okay, what about
a trilogy where each film isn't the same cast? Like, if it's like an anthology series,
yeah, that'd be a franchise. That's fair.
What about the film franchise I Am Legend?
The one movie?
Well, it's here listed as two, but
I don't know, there's a remake.
The Omega Man counts as part of that franchise.
I mean, you have the. Well, I guess it's based on a book.
Yeah.
To my own definition, it's a franchise.
And you said it's a remake, so it counts or whatever.
Yeah, I don't think a remake counts.
That's
personally
my belief. Yeah.
Yeah.
Have you ever seen the deleted, like, or the alternate ending of I Am Legend?
It's
where you're like, oh,
That actually makes sense and is better now.
Yeah.
Huh.
Yeah. Oh, which is the ending of the book, too.
Yeah.
But. Yeah. And like it gives the zombie who's screaming and gives him more of a reason of why he keeps following the butterfly motive that keeps popping up in the movie that still exists, I think.
The scene they're making follows the alternative ending.
Yeah.
Because you can't.
Okay.
Is the sequel got Will Smith in it?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's funny.
Wait. Well, they're not following the alternate because he dies in the alternate ending.
I thought he died in the actual ending.
No. Yeah, he dies in the actual ending, doesn't he?
Yeah, sure. He blows himself up in the actual ending.
Yeah.
Because it's like, it's one of those, it's like, because it's 2007, it's like they've gone for the gritty ending and not the just giving the body back ending.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure he does anyway.
Yeah, I'm fairly sure.
I thought he survived in the theatrical one and he died in the alternate version.
I'll find out. You keep looking at franchises. Yeah. I'll go on.
Yeah, no, because he becomes a legend because he explodes. Yeah.
That's the reason. No, he becomes a legend because he keeps killing all the zombies that have made society.
Neville then kills both himself and the attacking Darkseekers with the grenade, saving the cure. The following day, Anna and Ethan are at the camp survivors, and they're like, wow, he killed himself and he saved the cure. He is no longer a man. He is I Am Legend.
Yeah. Okay, yeah, that was the bad ending.
Yeah.
That was stupid. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
As opposed to just being like, oh, he wants zombie on his wife.
Yeah. There's an awesome interview with Will Smith recently where he just talked about all of the franchises that he fumbled. And it's really cool.
He said no to The Matrix. He said no to
Django Unchained then
and Inception. Yeah.
And in the Inception one, he was like, yeah, man, those movies don't do well.
Yeah,
movies
with alternate realities. I didn't understand this. Fuck that.
Will Smith, what? It's good.
It's also funny to say that because, like, The Matrix, your big fumble prior to this, is one of the most influential movies ever made.
It's really funny.
And that's an alternative reality as well.
I love to think that every movie, he made a bunch of flops, that was him being like, I gotta fucking take a chance.
Yeah, maybe this is The Matrix.
Omega
was
Man, it? Maybe this is...
This
fuck.
Is The Matrix. Was it Sean Connery that
he
was
said
like...
No
he
to said no Gandalf.
No, okay, well, who was like, I'm gonna say no, wasn't it also to The Matrix, or might have been something else?
No, yeah. Will Smith said no to The Matrix.
Yeah.
I thought it was Sean Connery was like, no to something because he didn't understand the script or whatever. Mm-hmm. He was like, I don't fucking get this. And then he's like, League of Extraordinary Gentlemen comes out. He's like, I'll do that, I guess, because maybe that'll be the next The Matrix.
people are screaming at you. It was Lord of the Rings. He turned down Gandalf, and then he saw Lord of the Rings make all the money in the world. And League of Extraordinary Gentlemen had a similar vibe in the script. Yeah. And he was like, well, I'll do this because I don't get it, but people love
this. That's so funny, dude.
Yeah. Yeah. He shouldn't have done that.
Yeah.
Will Smith, what are you up to?
He released that rap song recently that everyone's like, this is bad. But then I saw somebody be like, actually, it just needs to be slowed down or sped up. And they were very right. Then it became good. I preferred the slowed down version to the sped up version.
Whoa.
But they were on the money, dude. They were on the money.
You're a big chopped and screwed head.
Yeah.
Very
funny. To be like, it's good.
It's just like, it's actually just, not, it just needs to be.
It's just off somehow. Yeah. Hang on, let me just. Oh, that's it. There you go. There you go. It's just,
it is a sort of weird song because in it he's kind of being like, it's called Pretty Girls, and he's rapping about how he likes pretty girls. And nice is that all the girls in the music video are like about his age. You're like, that's good stuff. But then also like the lyrics are basically him being like, I'll be a sugar daddy if you want.
Oh, that's not as good.
But like, I guess that's like, honestly, any rap song could have been about that. Yeah. It's just funny that it's Will Smith.
Where's the general public standing now with Will?
Well, okay.
I think they're embarrassed by him.
Yeah, so last year he released an album. So this will be his second album in 2 years.
How long ago has it been since he slapped Chris Rock?
It's been a minute, hasn't it? That was like 2022.
Yeah,
it's been a while.
It's been a bit.
And he's only appeared in two movies that have been released since then.
Yeah, well, because he got banned and whatnot, and everyone's like, you need to chill. And is he still married?
I
don't know. I couldn't say.
Everyone's like, you and your wife have an interesting
relationship. It's very strange, Will Smith. You don't seem happy.
You don't seem happy, but she fucked your kid's friend or something?
Yeah, as far as I'm aware, she fucked your son's best friend.
Yeah, but it was cool though because you're in an open relationship.
And I don't know if this is true, but like then you went on a talk show to talk about it.
Her talk show?
And she was like, yeah, I'm fucking my son's best friend. And Will Smith was like, seemed like he was about to cry.
Yeah.
Okay, so since he hit Chris Rock, he was in Emancipation, which looks like a huge Oscar bait movie, but critics did not fall for it and said, this is bad, actually.
That's funny.
He did Bad Boys Ride or Die, which is Bad Boys 4, which
made a lot of money, though.
Yeah.
I don't think it made a lot of money. I think it looks like it was going to make a lot of money and then didn't have a...
Interesting.
Yeah, well, I mean, like, it made money, but I think...
didn't have, like, a long tail.
Okay,
just kind
so
of, like,
when you think made money, Yeah. It had a budget of $100 million.
Yeah.
What are you imagining it made?
Over $200 million at the very least.
Yeah. Okay, so when you heard it, so prior to me seeing any of this, I said, you were like, Bad Boys 4 made money.
Yeah.
And I said, yeah, it did make money. It had a budget of $100 million.
Yeah.
What are you thinking it made?
I'm guessing.
Based on the vibe of what people are saying.
Okay. At least like $500 million.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Say. Well, like.
Again.
It made $400 million.
Okay.
Yeah, so, like, you know what I mean? Like, it's just, it made money.
Yeah.
Made money. That's good.
Yeah, doubled its, like, you know, because of the marketing. Yeah. So, double. Well, hey, it made $200 million.
Yeah.
But, like, I mean, like, that's it's not.
In a year of stinkers.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
Actually, where did it?
I feel like it came out at the same time as something else that did quite well.
Or in a year of like other films doing like very bad and we really wanted to do well. Like,
I think respectable.
Like, did it come out at the same time as Furiosa? And you're like, nah.
Yeah. Yeah.
And everyone was like, I guess people just don't want to go to the movies. Oh, damn it. No, people want to go to the movies.
Bad Boys Ride or Die was the 17th highest grossing movie of last year.
Wow.
Yeah.
So it just beat Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes and Twisters.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And It Ends With Us. Oh. But unfortunately, YOLO, Pegasus 2, Successor, they all, Beetlejuice, Beetlejuice.
YOLO, Pegasus 2, Successor. Was that Pegasus? One movie
No, that
or
was three movies. And also, I shouldn't have picked those because none of those had
they didn't have a theatrical release?
Well, no, I mean, they did. Otherwise, they kind of a box office. They are not American films.
Oh, yeah.
But yeah, so Bad Boys, it did worse than Beetlejuice.
Yeah, right. Damn.
Okay.
And how are his albums doing?
Yeah. Really bad.
Yes.
So he made Based on a True Story, which came out last year.
Yeah.
Everyone was like, this is truly embarrassing.
I think
and
I heard
bad
some songs
music.
From that and it was pretty bad.
It was his first album in two decades. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. On Metacritic, it has a score of 40 out of 100.
That's not a passing
grade. No, that's bad.
No, and also music is one of those things where... Yeah. It's really kind of hard to release something that gets, because like if you release something bad, people usually don't review it.
Yeah.
Mm. Because like,
whatever, just
so much music.
Who cares? Next thing, I want to listen to something good.
Yeah, but because he's Will Smith, people did listen, but then people were like, huh, okay, you had no reason to make this.
I think it's weird because Will Smith, when he was a rapper back in the day, he had like a sort of a squeaky clean sort of, maybe not squeaky clean, but like, you know. There was like a kind of like a I guess a cleanliness to his to his.
Well,
his
he didn't
rap.
Say fuck or shit.
Yeah, like he wouldn't swear.
He might have said asshole.
Yeah,
but he wouldn't have said show me your asshole.
No.
Never.
And that's kind of like maybe it just it's weird when you're like a 50-year-old man.
Yeah,
you're like I don't know if that's if the world
like I don't know. He released albums that like as a white boy. Your mother and father would be fine with you buying.
Yeah. Absolutely.
I think also... Yeah.
And I feel like maybe the climate's just changed since the 80s.
I mean, also, it's worth noting that, like, he's just done some, like, it's just all sad.
Yeah.
Because, like, the music video for it is him playing Neo in The Matrix.
That's weird.
Dude.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, you fumbled
that.
That would be
sad,
like...
Dude. I'd be like, if Sean Connery in his music video was playing
Gandalf. Oh, dude,
wizard.
Sean Connery rapping.
But then, yeah, the whole album is awesome. Really like, hey, let me back, please. I want to come back. But he was like, hey, it's my most personal, impactful work.
Okay.
The central message of the album is dance in your darkest moments.
Some of the lyrics in Pretty Girls are very weird, too. Like,
see a therapist. Yeah.
You don't got to wait in line tonight. You too fine for the line tonight. 5 + 5, you a dime tonight. It's a full house, better play your cards right. I'ma post your pick if you pose. Make one call, you in vogue.
Uh-huh.
Head, shoulders, knees, and toes. Hold up, wait, pose. I'm about to do some investing. I spend it on you and your bestie. And your twin on a jet ski.
Okay.
I'll change your life if you let me.
Mm.
Just like very, I don't know. It's just sort of weird and also kind of sad for your like, you're like, hey, like, you know, another rapper might be
wait,
like, fuck me because
song?
I...
What
it's
given, was that?
Pretty Girls. It's one of his most recent ones.
Who was it? Jim Carrey was like, hey, I just want to work with... Who was it? And like a young actress.
Yeah.
And basically being like, she's just real hot.
Yeah.
And everyone was like,
I don't know if you can be... Come on,
Jim,
man.
What are you doing?
Yeah.
Okay.
Give me that kind of vibe.
The Independent says Will Smith's CD new single "Pretty Girl" sounds like a cry for help.
It did sound like a cry for help.
It's pretty bad.
It's kind of like, yeah.
I think it's also really fucked up in the age of like you know, Me Too and stuff like that to be like, hey, if you fuck me, I can get you in Vogue.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's like literally the thing that
is the cover for this single, like, you know, I don't know, a close-up of, like, I don't know, $100 just poking out of his zipper or something?
No, the cover of the single is like Will Smith doing fake binoculars with his
apparently
hands.
Apparently the music video keeps making reference to blurred lines, which is a big no-no.
Yeah, that, yeah. Huh. That's like, very strange.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Why?
He says...
just a lot of... Why?
Yeah.
There's a lyric, vanilla, chocolate, strawberry, and lemon. All right, fuck it. I like women.
Oh, yeah. That's, are you okay,
I
Will?
Think, like, again, like, no. I, yeah. This, I, there like, is rappers just, that could, like just drop
pull this
that,
off, yeah.
Like, pull that line off and it's fine. Not 56-year-old Will Smith, unfortunately.
No, unfortunately, for him, this song has a sad desperation.
Vanilla, chocolate, strawberry, lemon. All right, fuck it. I like women. That sounds like a Drake line.
Yes, yeah, absolutely.
In fact...
Is it a Drake line?
I don't think so.
But it's very similar to like some lyrics on Take Care.
It just feels like, I don't know.
The Weeknd? No. Probably not clever enough for The Weeknd.
Or not kind of like horny enough for The Weeknd.
All right, fuck it. I like women and I'm jacking off.
There's a very sad energy to this, and I'm a little depressed of hearing this.
It is really funny that the first verse is him being like, I have money, so fuck me for that. And then the second verse is he's like, any woman. Any woman, dude.
I ain't talking... Oh, wait, this line? I ain't talking about just the pretty you see.
Yeah.
There's a lot of women. You be.
Yeah, it's very funny. It's just any woman. Please fuck me. Will Smith. What an embarrassing...
The music video is him dancing around giant women.
Yeah, but the giant women seem at least slightly age-appropriate, so you got to give him props for that. I mean, you don't have to.
Anyway, I can't remember why we're talking about Will Smith, but the Warrens are pieces of shit, and Will Smith makes us sad.
Yeah.
And,
let's jump to the BS Boys email. You can email us. I got a hair in my mouth. You can email us at bsboyspod@gmail.com. Yeah. I've got the emails right.
Email us in. Like, who is currently making you sad?
Yeah, what celebrity depresses you the most? okay.
And do you think that, based on speculation, will inevitably get in legal trouble?
Yeah.
As in the last 6 months, we've really ramped up things we've been saying.
Speaking of maybe other things that might, well, maybe not get into trouble here, but other famous pedophiles.
Yes.
I recently found out that is it Kevin Spacey just keeps doing his like Frank Underwood every year.
Do you not know?
I knew that. You didn't know about Let Me Be Frank. No.
Yeah. Oh.
I knew that he had done that one video of him doing the dishes.
Yeah.
And I'm like, it's like, I think that was like the first year it all came out. And he's like, bro, that's sad.
No,
and
it's, then a, I, it's a yearly
it has
tradition.
It has never like come up.
And you know what
again.
Day that he releases them? Christmas Day, bitch.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas from your favorite pedophile. Or groomer. Or groomer slash pedophile.
Both, I'm pretty sure.
I think both.
Yeah. Well, hey, I guess you can't really work with Bryan Singer and not be at least one.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Mm. Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah.
He's got an official YouTube channel.
That's that. Yeah, YouTube. Yeah, okay.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Only recently found out about that. So, wow. He also depresses me.
Yeah, yeah. He's a good one. Yeah. He's a good one to
depress
you.
He only did it 3 years in a row. Let me be frank. And then...
Well, apparently he did an interview with this... Tucker Carlson.
Yeah.
As Frank. But they couldn't call him Frank.
He was clearly doing Frank.
Maybe a Netflix rights thing. I don't know.
Yeah. Anyway. It's really
good
awesome.
Good stuff.
It's really awesome, dude.
I live in this world. Repercussions, consequences.
They are real.
I'm just reading this Variety article. Jared Leto's sexual misconduct allegations.
Jared Leto?
Accused by 9 women. Well, at least that means that our famous Tron pedophile episode probably won't get us in trouble.
Women.
True. People famously hate those.
Well, not just that. Women means like they're of age at least.
Oh, that's true. It's not girls.
Yeah. Although, when?
Okay. Do we think that this is a good sign for Jared Leto?
Yeah.
1 week ago.
Oh, yeah.
Jared Leto's rep denies claims of inappropriate relationships with women. 5 days ago, Jared Leto accused of sexual misconduct by 9 women. Do you think that
this feels like a warrant contract. Yeah. Hey, if you're going to make claims about me, you got to make sure.
I like that it's, I just like that it's like his rep is like, we're getting ahead of this. Yeah. No. And then like a couple of days later, just immediately washed with, well, you had a crack, Jared Leto, and I hope you die.
Hopefully in prison.
Yeah.
Me too, dude.
Hopefully we find out all the nasty shit you've probably done in that little cult island. Mm-hmm.
Well, speaking of people who depress us, first email from Ryan. Hi, BS boys. Mm. If Sean Levy emailed you and said he really wants to appear on your podcast to try to get the 3 of you to like him, would you say yes?
Yes!
Thank you, Ryan.
Of course. I would be in any movie.
Like, once again, he seems like he's a fun guy.
Yeah.
He seems like he's a very friendly, nice person that, mm-hmm. like, you know, was like, would make a, being on the set. Seems like it might be a blast.
Yeah.
Kind of like with Adam Sandler, where it's like, hey, he doesn't make good films. Sometimes he makes great films, but often he makes dog shit. But a lot of them are often just like, I want to go on holiday.
Yes, yeah.
And so
absolutely.
You're like, hey, your films aren't great, but you seem like you are a nice person.
Yeah.
I feel like I guess the same with Sean Levy, where I'm like, he seems like a lovely guy. He seems like he gets along with these, you know, the actors. The actors are like, hey, you're a friend. I'll come over and I will actually be in your film for either nothing or whatever. Mm-hmm. I'm around, sure. So he seems like at least he's personable. Like
yeah, for sure.
Unless there's some other, maybe allegations or
great question.
If there's anything there, you made a face, JD, like I'm concerned. What I'm saying
about
Sean Levy?
No, I think he's fine.
Okay, that's good.
I was more looking at, because when I made the claim I'd be in any movie, and I was trying to remember who made those fucked up movies that have like Gina Carrera. It's funny because when people successfully get canceled, they do just leave my brain.
Yeah, yeah.
The one from Star Wars
and how
Daily Wire.
Yeah.
Is that what that's called?
Yeah, they keep making bad.
Anyway, I would have been in that Hunter Biden movie for pretty much no money. But also, like, Matt Walsh made all those depressing gotcha documentaries where he's like,
yeah. Depressing.
Yeah.
Yeah, but, like, apparently, like, people that were around it were like, yeah, it was, like, everyone was really aware, except for maybe, like, 2 times.
Mm.
Everyone was super aware of what he was doing, and he had to just, like, really either, like, plead with them or, like.
That's funny.
Yeah.
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 We'd have anyone on the show, too.
Yeah.
To be able to call Jared Leto a pedophile to his face. Imagine.
I wonder what would happen.
I think he'd probably get up and leave. Well, he'd give that really confused. He'd give us the same look he gave that person who was a VTuber.
Yeah.
He'd be like, what? Are you really saying this to me? And then he'd get up and leave.
But then, like, what happens? Because we're recording.
Yeah. Mm. He just goes.
If he leaves, he's leaving us with the audio.
Yeah.
Does it get more dangerous than that for us?
I think we get a call from his agent and maybe we get threatened with our kneecaps being broken. Yeah. Maybe.
Yeah.
Or we get threatened with legal action.
Yeah. And then we have to go to court.
Yeah. You know.
I say I'm not going. That's annoying to me.
I'm doing stuff.
Yeah, I'm busy. You've been on the podcast. I got stuff to do.
Yeah, I think it's for the press junk, like junk kind of thing. Chances are we would be blacklisted.
Yes, yeah. I think it would be both bad and good for our career.
Yeah.
It'd be good if we didn't want to do that as our career.
It'd be good if we didn't want baseless speculation to exist ever again, but we maybe wanted our names on the internet.
Yeah. Next email comes from Raph. Joel, and there's a message for each of us. Joel Dusha, I'm a professional theater director, and you're wrong that directing a play is easy. Hold on. However, you are correct in that you should not respect anyone who does it. Joel Zammit, I had a baby around the same time that Johnny Baby came onto the scene. Yes. My son has listened to many hours of Plumbing the Death Star, JBSA, and Baseless Speculation with me, and unfortunately is very stupid now. However, he seems to particularly enjoy the episodes that have Johnny Baby in them.
Oh, that's good.
So I can only assume that Johnny Baby is hosting his own simultaneous podcast for babies.
That makes sense.
Well, again, if you sign up to the Bad Brain Boys Plus and the most recent Play Slash Ruin, a certain little Johnny Baby guest stars and
He's a character for a bit.
It's very funny editing any episode that Johnny Baby's in, because I'll get into the sort of like that flow state of editing, and then I'll be like,
"What was
who's
that sound?
Screaming? what the fuck?
There's a baby
in the studio." Because it's like nothing for ages, then you just hear blah, and you're like, "What?
What was that?
Is my house haunted?
Better call the Warrens."
And then you get a book
called
Jackson, the Haunting.
Jackson has a baby in it.
The baby made me do it.
And then to me, the only thing I have for you, Jackson, is that when we saw you guys in alive in London, my partner leaned over to me and said, I didn't know Jackson was such a fey little elf man. Complimentary. Most people say gnome, but I'll take elf man.
Yeah.
Danny elf man.
What do we think about that? I think good things.
Yeah.
I don't think good things. I'm pretty sure Danny Elfman.
Yeah, I think he's also not good.
He's similar vibes to previous people we've been talking about.
Let me just double check. Danny Elfman. Oh, no.
Dear.
I mean, he looks like a clown.
Yeah. That's true. And then finally, this is from Jessica. I've been frustrated about this since whenever you did the Five Nights at Freddy's episode a year or so ago. And I thought somebody would have yelled at you about this by now, but no one has. So here I am. The Jack Black Five Nights at Freddy's song that Jackson sang wrong is actually the Living Tombstone Five Nights at Freddy's 1 song, which actually played in the credits of the movie. And that song sounds slightly more like how Jackson sang it.
Sorry, can I just get the name of that artist?
The Living Tombstone.
Five Nights at Freddy's.
Five Nights at Freddy's. Five Nights at Freddy's. But I don't know which Five Nights at Freddy's song they're even talking about. But more importantly, the dun 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 tune that Jackson sang and Dusha claimed he made up is actually the Toreador March, and he just forgot the first 5 notes, which is why it sounds fake. And Dusha, as a footy fan, you should know this song well because it's the backing track of the Geelong Cats theme. Anyway, the new Five Nights at Freddy's game came out a few days ago and implies that maybe possibly William Afton cucked another guy then killed his son. Killed his child. Do you think that'll happen in the second Five Nights at Freddy's movie? Keep on trucking, BS boys, from Jessica.
Jessica, first of all, thanks for the email. Second of all, let's just check this real quick. Okay, so Jackson's about to, I can see from his face that he's about to claim that he's accurate.
Which song that I love to sing do they
mean? Five Nights at Freddy's.
Five Nights at Freddy's.
Pretty sure.
Or the bump.
Hang on. No.
She's
Five Nights at Freddy's.
No,
it does sound
that's
similar.
Where I wanna be.
I will say
Five Nights at Freddy's.
Yeah.
That's where I wanna be.
Because Jackson has memory of Jack Black
doing the gritty.
It.
He's doing the gritty and singing
Jack
it.
Black
singing.
Five Nights at Freddy's. Can't do the gritty singing.
And
down.
Also in that video that Jackson remembers, one, not doing the gritty. Two, he doesn't sing it like that. And you'll just take it. You're claiming this is the song you're singing just because of the inflection on Freddy's. Mm-hmm. It's set at a different speed. Mm-hmm. They don't repeat Five Nights at Freddy's, and it's way slower.
I guess it would be my take on it then.
Yeah. And yeah, no one's.
Jessica, what have you done?
I'd say it's my
also
take.
The made up song. I don't even know if that's the song
that's
he was singing.
A new song, dude. That's not. What is it?
Wah, 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 wah.
It's like that, sort of.
Like, is it? Yeah, your wah, 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 wah. Yeah. It sounds like it's from, like, a Chuck E. Cheese or, like, like a Chuck E. Cheese, like, proxy in, like, a Rugrats film or
well,
something
that's
like
what
that.
Freddy is.
You
know he is I mean? A Chuck E. Cheese
I know,
proxy.
I know.
Okay, yeah. I feel like we're getting too far away from the fact that you still have made up songs and keep claiming they're part of a thing they're not.
Yeah.
But it is cool that Jackson sung a song.
Yeah. I think so.
And like it's a catchy one too.
Yeah,
how he does it.
Five Nights at Freddy's.
Five Nights at Freddy's. That's where I wanna be. Five Nights at Freddy's.
Now you've changed it. You've changed his own song.
Well, just because I've learned the next line in the song. The next line of the song is "That's where I want to be." So now I've learned
so
it.
He's evolving.
So I'm adding. You know, it's an exciting development for me.
Yeah.
That I can add that to the song.
Like his repertoire of
music. To my repertoire of music. Well, if you want to send us an email, and I implore you, please do. you can send that to bsboyspod@gmail.com. We'll read it out in the episode.
Like, and it'll be really good. Dude.
It'll probably spark an argument, or we'll call someone a pedophile.
Yeah.
the two cornerstones of the Baseless Speculation podcast.
No. Yeah. Well, it's really the current state of movies.
Yeah.
The other things corners are
either
are like,
bad or someone's a pedophile.
Bad, pedophile. Well, it's caused an argument. Yeah. This is sloppy.
Yeah. That's it.
That's a room. That's a room. The BS Boys State of the Movies room.
That's beautiful.
This room sucks.
Yeah, it's a bad room. Yeah.
There's black mold.
Yeah.
Probably haunted.
Mm. Yeah.
Call the Warrens.
Yeah, okay, get them in here.
That gets all four.
That's true. Wow, yeah. That's true.
That is true. And on that note, I've been Joe.
I've been Jackson.
And I've also been Joe.
And this has been another episode of Baseless Speculation. And we've been the BS Boys. Unless you're a lawyer, then we've been the Weekly Planet.
Clever. Good. Smart move. Smart move. We've all been James and Meso.
Yeah. Except me, I've been Dave Warnicky.
Nice.
Got it.
Nice.
Yeah, take down two other podcasts.
Yeah.